The NCAA has its Sweet 16 on the men's side, but it's still looking to move on from its self-inflicted wound. That's our lead story for the Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, March 23rd. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcor. Hope everybody is doing well today. I appreciate my colleague David Albright for filling in for me yesterday on the Buzzcast. You'll hear more from David in the future. Let's start with the NCAA because in a letter to staff, NCAA President Mark Emmert wrote that a number of balls were dropped at the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament in San Antonio and that he will ultimately determine exactly how the NCAA found itself in that situation. Now, that is noteworthy because over the weekend, as we know, there was that stark disparity between the weight training facilities, between the men's and women's locations. The NCAA also faced questions about the differences in the swag bags given to the men's and women's players, the food options available, and the type of COVID-19 testing being done for both the men and the women. Over the weekend, there were a number of calls for people to be held accountable for these decisions. Emmert sounds like he is going to be studying this and figuring out just who should be held accountable. Meanwhile, a lot of fingers are pointed directly back to Mark Emmert. USA Today's Nancy Armour says that as long as Mark Emmert is president of the NCAA, quote, women's sports will never get the equitable treatment they not only deserve, but are due, end quote. So despite the NCAA trying to move on from this story, it's still the narrative overshadowing the men's and women's tournaments at this time. Let's shift to some news about naming rights, because we've talked on the Buzzcast about the Miami Heat could be soon having a new name for its facility in downtown Miami. Remember, it's been the American Airlines Arena for so long. Well, the cryptocurrency exchange FTX is now one vote away from winning the naming rights deal for the Heat's arena. The Miami-Dade County Commission will meet on Friday to approve the agreement. Now remember, it's been American Airlines Arena for nearly two decades, but now the venue would be called the FTX Arena. It would bring the NBA its first naming rights deal for the crypto industry. So look for this deal to be approved as early as Friday, and that would be major news in all of sports sponsorship. Let's shift to some motorsports news. I'll tell you, Roger Penske is feeling very, very positive about the energy and the vibe and the crowd around the Indy 500 in late May. He acknowledged that more than 170,000 tickets have been sold for the May 30th race. His goal is to have 250,000 people at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's saying it's outside, it's the biggest facility in the world, they're going to be able to follow guidelines, but he is hoping for easily a big six-figure crowd at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in late May. So that's a story we all want to be keeping an eye on. I want to shift to some very positive news around women's sports. You know, the Women's Super League, that of course is the soccer league, is part of England's Football Association. Well, the Football Association signed a major three-year, $33 million deal with Sky Sports and the BBC that will give the Women's Super League among the highest rights fee for a women's sports league in the world. So it's a three-year deal. It is the first time the Women's Super League's rights have been sold separately to the men's game. So that is significant, establishing a true market value for the media rights for the Women's Super League. The deal is worth around $11 million per season. The funds will largely be distributed to the 12 WSL clubs. As it stands now, the Women's Super League makes very little TV revenue from its current rights holders, BT Sport and BBC Sport. They pay about $7,000 per game. But not only do you see a major financial commitment being done here, Sky Sports will increase the amount of games it will show. So will the BBC. So basically, the bottom line of this deal for England's Football Association and the Women's Super League is more live games, reaching a larger audience, and bringing in more revenue than maybe any other women's domestic league in the world. That is good news, and congratulations to the Women's Super League. Let's stay on soccer news because, boy, a global pandemic, not much of an impact on FIFA. FIFA said it expects to hit its four-year revenue target of more than $6.4 billion. That, of course, is leading up to its World Cup in 2022 in Qatar. Now, FIFA acknowledged that it gets most of its money from the four-year Men's World Cup. It says it's already received more than 90% of its income target from broadcasting rights for the 2022 World Cup. However, they have sold fewer sponsorships around the event. Meanwhile, FIFA President Gianni Infantino says he wants as many bids as possible for the 2030 World Cup. That's not surprising. Of course he does. He has not ruled out getting a bid from China. Right now, South America is the early favorite to land the 2030 World Cup. Remember, Qatar in 2022, the United States, Mexico, and Canada in 2026. Now Infantino ready to take as many bids as possible for the 2030 World Cup. But overall, the business of FIFA seems to be very, very strong. Let's end the Buzzcast with names around people like we often do. The first people I'll mention, two big names joining the consulting business as the Montag Group, Sandy Montag, the very connected sports agent, and former Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney have launched a college-focused consulting business. Now, these two have known each other for years. They believe they can combine their expertise and offer that expertise to universities and conferences. They'll focus on college sports at first, but both said they could expand this consulting into professional sports teams and leagues. But Jim Delaney, Sandy Montag entering the sports consulting business. Meanwhile, former Turner Sports President David Levy has a new gig. He is now chair of the sports data company Genius Sports Group. David Levy will lead the board of directors' oversights of Genius's operations and strategies. Remember, David Levy, three-decade run at Turner. Genius Sports is currently in the process of going public. It has deals with a number of sports leagues, federations, and organizations. It's also in the mix for a big new data deal with the NFL, but that's a very competitive process right now. The NFL hopes to make a decision on its new data provider sometime during the offseason. And finally, I do want to say rest in peace, Elgin Baylor, the Hall of Famer, was one of the great, great players in NBA history. He's a great story. And if you're not familiar with the story of Elgin Baylor, I really encourage all of you to go back and read some of the obituaries today. An illustrious playing career. He also moved into the front office where he was a coach and a general manager. He was an amazing athlete. He was Dr. J and Michael Jordan before Dr. J and Michael Jordan, but he was also a great man of principle, had true values, and was a real pioneer. And again, we will miss NBA legend Elgin Baylor, who died at the age of 86. The Clippers held a moment of silence for him before last night's game. So that is your Morning Buzzcast. It is Tuesday, March 23rd. I'm Abe Madcore. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.